Warm greetings to everyone in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to wish all of you a very blessed church anniversary. The Lord is good. When we were in America in one of our classes on theology, our professor asked us to choose one word that will best describe God. And so many of us would use love, holiness, and so on. And then he said, the one word that best describes God is that he is good. And how right he is. Imagine God is so powerful, so great, so mighty, and he is not so good. 99% good, but 1% not so good. We are in trouble. But he is good in every aspect of his character and his dealing with us. So much so that even in times of pain and adversities and persecution, and even in the face of death, we must never at any time doubt the goodness of God. When the psalmist gave us Psalm 100, a psalm of praise, and then he concluded by telling us, for the Lord is good. He is not teaching us a doctrinal truth like what our lecturer in America was telling us, just to describe one word that best captures who God is, that he is good. But the psalmist said the Lord is good from a very personal perspective. It is based upon his relationship with God in his life that allowed him to conclude in this short psalm of 5 verses, for the Lord is good. Now, you and I know that in understanding psalms, we have to begin by looking at the first verse and the last. Because by understanding these 2 verses and reading them together, you will have the main thrust of the entire psalm. And every verse in between, from verse 2 to the end, is the demonstration, the evidence, to prove the main theme of that particular psalm. And in this case, look at the first verse and the last. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. And that's how we know that from the psalmist's perspective, the knowledge that the Lord is good is not here. It's here in the heart. It's not in the head. Very often for us, it is more a doctrinal truth than a reality. So much so that if we are asked to fill in the blanks, the Lord is filling the blanks, you and I will probably say, the Lord is good. But whether, is it good in your life? That is what this psalm must signify. Not just good on paper, not just good in God's eternal plan that he is a good God, but it has to be the goodness of God in your life. Because if he is not a good God to you, then you are in trouble. Because this good God tells us that when we die in our sin, we are going to be condemned and he will cast us into hell. And he is a good God. That's how he's going to deal with every transgressor, every sinner, for the many transgressions and iniquities that we commit against him on earth. And that is why it is the Lord is good to me, personally. That is how we must look at this first message of this new year, on this anniversary, as well as dedication. That whatever lot in life that you're experiencing right now, you need to know that he is a good God. Don't you ever doubt his goodness, not even in the slightest, not even in thought. He is good, and he will always be good, regardless of the circumstances that we face in this life. And so how do we know that the Lord is good in my life? 3 evidence. The first, verse 1 to verse 2. What is the basis of your life? Joyful life or joyous life? What is the basis? Are you a happy person? Do you have a joyful life? Is your life happy? Yes or no? If your life is not happy, if your life is miserable, then you are really, really in trouble. Now, if you are a sinner and your life is miserable, that is good. It's supposed to be miserable because you are in sin. Your life is full of trouble that you can never solve. And the worst trouble is, you're going to soon die in sin. And therefore, if you do not have a joyful life, because you have not experienced how good God is. But if you call yourself a Christian, then is your life joyful? Because the abundant life Jesus Christ assured that every disciple of His will enjoy, will have, is a joyful life. It's a very, very happy life. That's where the Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 15, verse 16, rejoice evermore. That's what the Apostle Paul, when he wrote the epistle to the Philippians while languishing in prison under house arrest, he taught them and told them to keep on rejoicing. And his circumstances was house arrest in prison. Soon after that, he will be martyred. And yet, he was the one encouraging the Christians in Philippi to be joyful. Not the other way around. Because anyone and everyone who truly knows that the Lord is good to him and in his life cannot not be joyful. So is your life joyful? Like what the psalmist says, make a joyful noise. This is not just some silent, quiet, inner joy. That's there, of course, but he says it has to be expressed. It has to be heard. It has to be proclaimed. Like when you are singing your hymns. Are the hymns that you sang a moment ago done mechanically, ritualistically, because you have been doing it week after week for many, many years, that when you listen to the chairman telling you, let's praise the Lord, turn to this hymn, mechanically you will just turn, look at the number, and then the organist and the pianist will play, and then you just simply sing without concentration, without looking at the words of what exactly are you singing, and whether you're singing from the bottom of your heart. It doesn't matter whether you sing pitch perfect. It's the heart. That's the making joyful noise unto the Lord. All ye lands, anywhere and everywhere where the Lord is preached, where the Lord is believed and obeyed. No exception, not just the land of Israel. All ye lands where you have heard of the Lord, just like Rahab, very ready to meet with the two spies who came. She already knew the Lord, just like Ruth, living in Moab. Knew the Lord. All you lands, as long as you know the Lord, whether you live in the heart of Jerusalem or whether you live as far from Jerusalem, like in the Singapore, Southeast Asia, doesn't matter. Location doesn't matter. As long as you know the Lord and He has been good to you, you must rejoice. Is the Lord the only one that gives you joy? Should be. What are the things that gives you joy in your life? I'll be receiving my new handphone. Very excited. Very joyful, right? New phone. The latest. That's out in the market. Long queue. Now you got it. Very joyful, right? New things, whatever the thing is, does it give you more joy than coming to church in praising the Lord? If that is true, then we are not very spiritually well. We are, in fact, in carnality. That the carnal things gives me more joy and excitement than the eternal spiritual things that you will continue to do when you arrived in heaven, like praising and worshipping the Lord. Is it something mundane? Something that is a burden, that is laborious? whereby you are found in God's house every Lord's Day because of mom and dad, and you are not pretending to be here. Your body is here, but your mind and your heart and your soul is somewhere else. And everything that you do is just robotic, going through the motion, as they say. But once you are out there in the world, in front of your computer, this exciting computer game, or this barbecue where there is partying, merry-making, or in this sports or games, or you're watching live your favorite sport, your favorite soccer team, whatever it is, great joy, great thrill, great passion, great longing. But when it comes to the Lord and the things of the Lord, when it comes to reading the Bible, studying the Bible, listening to the preacher and the teacher, not the psalmist. Not the psalmist. When he thinks of the Lord is so good to him. He saved me. He is so patient with me. I stumbled, I failed him, unfaithful to him, but he remained faithful. He never betrayed me. He always kept his word. And whenever I cry to him, he's there to lift me up. And I am so lonely. He whispered peace and comfort to my heart. Struggling alone. No one seemed to care. No one seemed to help. But he drew nigh unto me. And he gave me the strength and the comfort that I needed in order for me to keep on serving and keep on witnessing. He gave me the courage to speak to my friend, the gospel. He gave me the courage to stand up to my boss and not capitulate to something that is legal but unethical. He gave me the courage to speak up, even though I faced the consequences of humiliation and being shouted at. But the Lord was good. He enabled me to speak up, because in the past I was so scared and so nervous, I dare not open my mouth. But this time round, I managed to do it, even though the outcome may not be very good, they didn't listen. But at least I spoke up, and the Lord helped me, and the Lord is good. The psalmist experienced the goodness of God, and that became the basis of his joyful proclamation, joyful noise. I want to tell the world how good the Lord is by the hymns that I sing, by my life, that I walk with liveliness, with joy. You know, sometimes when you see young people walk, especially across the zebra crossing or the traffic light, they walk so slowly, they walk without life, they walk by dragging their feet. Now look at these young people. You are so young, so full of youthful zeal and energy. Why do you walk like that as if you are an old man? Slowly dragging your feet. No excitement, no thrill. How is your walk with the Lord, dear friend? How was your walk with the Lord the past year? Was it one of joy and gladness because the Lord has been good to you and your loved ones throughout the year, day by day, step by step, event by event? Or has it just been one of mundane carnality, more joyful in the things of the world than in the things of God? To see someone come to know Christ, to see a brother or sister being lifted up in spirit and encouraged because of your sacrifice and your prayer and your ministry. Do all these things give you joy? Because these are the things that are included in the joy of the Lord. Because the Lord is now working in the lives of these persons because of your sacrifice and your faithfulness and your service. Does that give you the happiness? Not being recognized, it's okay. Not being praised and patted on the shoulder, it's fine. As long as you are growing in the Lord, as long as you are drawn closer to the Lord, happy. That's why verse 2 talks about service. By serving the Lord, you see how the Lord is near you, how the Lord helped you, and how the Lord used you. Serving the Lord with gladness, you see? That's why we know that it is not just some doctrinal truth that the psalmist was telling us, which is also true. The Lord is good, which is true. But he is not writing and sharing from that perspective of paper, but life. Serving the Lord, sacrificing, perspiring, sweating, giving up your whatever, recreational time and all your time that you could do something else, but you sacrifice it by preparing your lesson and your service. And other people are doing something else according to their heart's content, but you say, no, thank you, I cannot go. I have to attend this Bible study. I'm sorry, I cannot go with you to watch this movie. I have to be in fellowship. I have to be here listening to God's word and spend time with God's people this Saturday evening. Thank you for the invitation, but I'm sorry, I need to decline. And you come. And your presence encourages people. You listen to the word of God and you grow in the Lord. All these things give you thrill and joy and happiness. There must be a transformation between the joy that is in a sinner's life and the joy that is in a saint's life. If there is no change and no transformation, please go back to square one and check your salvation. The many places that you long and love to go before salvation, you now find very, very unsavory. You don't want to go near them. You don't want to have anything to do with them because you know that this will inflame your lusts of the flesh and the lusts of the eyes and the pride of life. Why would you want to participate in these activities and go to these places that will make your carnal part so alive when you should put it down and bring your spiritual part alive? Because this tension, remember Romans 7, is always there. That's why you should incline yourself to more of serving the Lord, spending more time with God's people. As the psalmist said, serving the Lord with gladness, and therefore he happily come before the Lord's presence with singing. Why not? To serve, facing persecution, facing disappointment, facing difficulty, and the Lord was there to encourage, to strengthen, to give you the extra zeal, strength and energy to persevere to the very end, no matter how tired, no matter how exhausted you feel, that the Lord held your hand and dragged you literally through the finishing line in this project, in this ministry. And then at the end of it, the people are blessed, the people are encouraged, and that is the joy that you feel, that the Lord has enabled you and used you to bring spiritual blessing to others. That's why you can come before the Lord singing with gladness, and that's real. Of course, it includes his time in the temple or the tabernacle. They will go there and they will bring their freewill offering, thanking the Lord for what the Lord has done. The second basis that you and I need to ask ourselves, what is the basis of our existence? Is it the goodness of the Lord? Why are you here? What are you doing with your life? The psalmist understood the very purpose of his existence is because of the Lord's goodness. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. That Jesus Christ is God. Don't forget that. It is he that has made us exactly who we are, with all the ups and downs in life before salvation and after salvation. The Lord continued to shape us and mold us before salvation, to shape and prepare us for salvation and for service. And after we are saved, the Lord continued to shape and mold us so that we can conform more and more to the image of God's only begotten Son as we serve him. But either way, whatever it is, he continued to shape and mold us. He made us. So be grateful, be thankful for who you are. He made you to be exactly who you are, with your character, with your strength and weaknesses, with everything and every aspect. So don't you ever indulge in self-pity. Don't you ever try to compare and say, well, I wish I am the other person. I wish I am that person. I wish my wife is like the other person's wife. I wish my husband is like the other person's husband, and so on. don't you ever indulge in such transgression, because then you are implying that God made a mistake the way that He made you. He never did and He never will. He made you the way that you are, and not we ourselves. You study hard, you got your paper qualification, your diploma, and you now have made yourself from a very, very struggling life. Now you are very well off financially and materially. Don't you ever think that you are a self-made millionaire. Not we ourselves. You are exactly who you are because of God's goodness. To give you your past, with all the people that He has sent into your life, the teachers, your parents, your friends, everyone, everything, to shape you, to mold you, in order for you to be of service to Him. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. The basis of our existence is the Lord's goodness. Do you know that? Not your skill, not your parents' inheritance, not your heritage, whatever it is that is of the world, that is taught to us by the world, you have to debunk them. And you've got to look at yourself afresh, knowing that your Lord is the one who has shaped and molded you with all that you have become. And you continue to improve. Because the more you study God's word and improve and lean upon Him, the more you're going to look like your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in word, in conduct, in everything. Because you are the sheep of His pasture, eating the grass that the Lord has provided for you. Every pasture that He leads you to, it is the Lord's doing, in order for the Lord to make you to be who you are for His service. Your very existence is dependent upon the Lord's goodness, which will automatically result in thankfulness, gratitude. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, right? Did you do so this afternoon? Even though you know that it is your church's 18th anniversary, right? Did you come with thanksgiving in your heart? Or you can do without the church? Or you think you're doing the church a big favor by your presence, not the other way around? Do you really thank God for 18 years of His goodness toward all of you? Because the church is you. Not the bank account, not this building, definitely. It's in every one of you. The Lord preserved and kept you. Within the first week, I had to conduct my first funeral. A young lady, 54 years old, called home to glory because of illness. Left behind her husband and a teenage daughter. The Lord has called her home. The time on earth done, the race that the Lord set for him completed. Fought a good fight through the illness and kept the faith. You and I are still around. What are you doing? Do you thank God for every day? Do you thank God for every Lord's day that you can come to church? Do you thank God for all the simple things that you do, from lifting up the hymn to sing and to praise the Lord and to have the privilege of serving the Lord week after week, with the strength and health given to you, with your mind still sharp and clear to be able to discern and understand so many, many aspects of our lives. All the little things, as all the big things, are all from the Lord. And it's because the Lord has made us, provided for us, kept us, that we are able to serve. Are you grateful to know that it is indeed the Lord who has kept you and made you to be who you are today? That when you walk into this sanctuary, Sunday after Sunday, do you truly acknowledge this truth? that he is the one who made you his sheep and brought you into his pasture day in and day out, so that you will enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise, and be thankful unto him and truly bless his name from the heart. The very existence, your family, your friends, your home, everything. Take a step back. It is because of the goodness of the Lord. You and I know that it is so easy for us to transgress, and God would be very just and righteous to take us home at any time. And from the day of our salvation till today, can you count the number of times that you have been unfaithful and you have sinned against the Lord? And at any of those times, the Lord should have and could have taken us home. And many of the blessings and feelings and emotions that you are enjoying now would not be part of your joy and experience. If the Lord had taken me home, I would not know what it's like to be a grandfather. And the feeling of loving my grandchildren is so special and unique and different. And I know that it is only by the goodness of God that I'm able to experience this. The goodness of God enables you to go to school, to study, to concentrate, to focus, to go to work, to have a skill, to serve the Lord, and to be a holy testimony where you are. All these things that you and I just do like as if we are a robot, because it's so repetitive that we forget that it is because of the goodness of God that we are not consumed, that we are still around, because of his grace and his mercy toward each and every one of us, giving us time and time and time and opportunity after opportunity to come back to him and to serve him again and again and again. No matter how many times you may have disappointed him, he remains faithful. And that is why when you are given any task to do that he put into your hands, give your best. Do your utmost, and at the end of it, just give thanks for the privilege of serving the Lord. Doesn't matter whether it is big or small. Doesn't matter. Be faithful in the least so that you can be faithful in the much. Trust in him. Don't go ahead of him. Can you look back in your life from the day that you were born again and even before that, how the Lord has been preparing you, shaping you and molding you until you are born again, and then after that he has been directing and guiding your life one crossroad at a time? Are you able to see that? The psalmist did. He saw the Lord in his life, and he understood that he was just a simple sheep in the Lord's pasture, feeding and experiencing the blessings that the Lord bestowed upon him, that he in turn could be a blessing to others, serving the Lord in the capacity that the Lord has prepared him to do. That's why he is so grateful. That's why he is full of joy and thanksgiving. Thankfulness is the evidence of a person who is grateful. And a person is grateful because he knows that he is an undeserving sinner saved by grace. And don't you ever forget that. Because the moment you forget, everything will be switched around. You think that God is, that you are doing God a big favor by your presence. And you think that God cannot do without you. And so you walk in with a head held high as if you are the Lord of Lords and not the other way around. And therefore when you praise and worship, it is pure perfunctorily, just for show, none from the heart. But not the psalmist. The Lord is good, because the Lord's goodness was the basis of his joyful life. The Lord is good because it is the basis of his very existence. His entire being, his entire life was because of the goodness of the Lord. And do you think he deserves it? No, the psalmist knows that he does not deserve it. And that's why we see in verse 5, it is entirely based upon God's mercy. God's mercy. Punishment we deserve, he withheld. Time and time again, the Lord did not deal with us according to the depths of our transgression. if he were to deal with any one of us according to the severity of our transgression against him, we all would have left this world long ago. All of us, no exception. That's why it is the Lord's mercy that you are still able to be here to apologize and to enjoy a wonderful, sweet, happy family life. And here in the church, serving the Lord. It is because of the Lord's mercy. His mercy is everlasting. And they are new every morning in other passages of the Bible. It's everlasting. It is because of the Lord's mercy that we are going to be in heaven one day. And His truth will endure to all generations. He will never lie to us. And whatever He says and promised to us in God's word, He will keep. He will keep. As you know, in your pastoral page, the theme of Chavipandan is based upon John 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled because of the troubled world that we are living in. And in those few verses, verse 1 to verse 4, especially verses 2 and 3, the disciples were troubled because of the Lord's doing, because of the Lord's words. The Lord just told them that I'm going to leave all of you. I'm going to go to the cross, I'm going to die, and then I'm going to go back to heaven. In other words, your 3 years of peaceful living, obeying my word with me on earth, protecting you, it's over. And the disciples knew it, because they still want to obey the Lord. And they now know that once the Lord is gone, who will the scribes, Pharisees and Sadducees come after them? They're going to be persecuted, they're going to be harmed, they're going to be hurt. And so, they were very troubled. And that's what the Lord said to them. Let not your heart be troubled. In other words, stop letting your heart be troubled. I'm not deserting you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And the word prepare, there are two words. One is to prepare, where the focus is on the external, that is to prepare thoroughly. Another word is to prepare internally, that is to construct something that is not existing yet. And the word Jesus Christ used is to prepare them. The second word, I am going to my Father's house that has many mansions. The word mansion simply means dwelling place. If I do not go, even though my Father's house is huge, there is no dwelling place for any one of you. That's why I am going to prepare, to construct, to build for you a home with your name on it. And that's why He has to go to the cross. That's why He has to suffer. That's why He has to die. Because if He doesn't go to the cross and suffer and die for us, even though the Father's house is so huge, many, many dwelling places could be constructed, but no one would be there at all if Jesus Christ does not go. But thank God He did. He went. And He prepared, constructed a dwelling place for each and every one of us with our name on it, waiting. Waiting for us to finish our sojourn here on earth and arrive home in glory. Do you know this? Does that give you the comfort and the strength and the impetus to keep on serving? Because the Lord is indeed good. Not only good to help us in this earthly life, but the goodness continue on into eternity, into heaven. But there is a dwelling place that the Lord Himself has prepared for you with your name on it, waiting for you to occupy when your service on earth is done. His truth endureth to all generations, whether you are living in the time of the psalmist or in the time of Jesus or in the 21st century AD, the truth of God will prevail and the promises of God will have the same strength as when it was first inspired and given by God to His prophets. It will never diminish and you can cling on to it, and you can trust it. And it is all because of God's mercy. How can you not experience the goodness of God as a child of God? That is the starting point, isn't it? Don't let the Lord is good be a theory, but let it be a reality in your life, moment by moment, as you step out of the sanctuary this afternoon at the end of the service. Pray and cry to the Lord, Lord, I want to experience the goodness of God in my life, in my home, in my family, in my service, in my walk, in everything that I do. I want to experience the goodness of God in my life. Help me, teach me, show me as I surrender my all to you for service. Would you do that at the start of this new year, on this first Lord's Day, so that you can truly experience how good God can be to you, just as He has been to the psalmist and many of the saints who have come before us? Why should you be excluded from experiencing His goodness? All you need to do is to surrender your life. Don't go and do what is right in your own eyes and go out of your path of obedience. Then you will not experience the goodness of God, but the chastisement of God, which is in a way also good, to stop you and bring you back so that you can begin to experience the desiderative will of God in your life. Truly, how good the Lord is through every experience and circumstances, no matter how adverse they might be, the Lord will be there to hold your hand, to whisper peace to your heart, so that you will not need to be troubled. But the joy of the Lord will be your strength and your portion. Let us pray. Almighty God, our most gracious, loving Heavenly Father, truly, Thou art a good God. For in that goodness and Thy love for us, You gave Your only begotten Son to be our Lord and our Savior. How He suffered and how He died on the cross for our sins. Help us, O Lord, as we wait upon Thee in the stillness of this sanctuary. May Thy Holy Spirit speak to every heart, that we may not only know Thee as a good God on paper, but that we truly know Thee as a good God in our lives, because You have saved us and You have left us behind for service. And throughout our many, many moments and times and years of service, You have been there for us to hold our hand, to lead us, to guide us, to strengthen us, and to see us through many challenges and adversities and adversaries. For indeed, like the psalmist, we can truly say from the depths of our heart, Thou art a good God, because You have given to us a joyful life, and our very existence is because of Thy goodness, and it is by Thy mercies that we are not consumed, that You have been so good to us. Fill our hearts, O Lord, with a deeper sense of thanksgiving and gratitude, that we may truly offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto Thee, which is our reasonable service. May this year of 2024 truly be the best years for all Your children, because we will taste and experience how good Thou art. In Jesus' most precious and holy name, we give thanks and pray. Amen.